This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And a good Saturday morning to you all. Andy Paulson in for Igor, and this is The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris.
Good morning.
We have our phone lines open. Area code 814-368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. We are streaming live on Facebook Live today at facebook.com/WESB1075. If you'd like to watch, we have a very interesting looking plant we're going to be discussing later on. And to start off the show, we have a comment from a listener from last week. Yeah. She posted on our Facebook live stream from last week, "Love this grass, one of my favorites." And that's from Trisha. Yeah. What I wasn't here. What grass were you talking about?
Oh, I brought in a grass, Miscanthus sinensis. Has a green leaf blades with a white
center going right up, with a white stripe going up every leaf blade. So it looks really interesting. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about the grasses.
Oh, great.
There's a lot of different varieties of grasses, some growing a foot tall, some growing 6-7 foot tall, and everything in between. And they're all deer proof. Grasses develop this thing over millions of years. They have little hairs that come off the very edge. You can't really see them, but you can feel them if you run your hand down a grass blade of the ornamental grasses, not your lawn grass. They have silica in them, so they're very sharp and abrasive. So the deer leave them alone, and all the other animals leave them alone. And that's a little hint for you too, that if you are working with them and you want to trim them or just move them around, you know, make sure you don't run your hand down the blade. Always run it up the blade. Now, it's not gonna harm you a lot. You know, you may get a little tiny scratch, but it's enough to keep animals away. So it's a great garden plant. They can be good for, decades and decades long. They grow, they multiply a little bit, not out of hand. They're not a weedy plant. They multiply like a hosta or a daylily, to where every 5 years, if you want, you could dig and divide and get more plants that way. They're not invasive either, even though they're not really native to this country. They don't, most of them don't produce a seed that'll start to grow in different places in your yard. So the ornamental grass is a great, great plant.
That's great. And we already have a caller on the line.
Oh, beautiful.
Good morning. You're on with Bob.
Good morning, Bob. I just have a question about a white fungus that keeps getting all over my, especially the African violet. Mm.
Okay.
And I can't get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just about all of us are seeing that. If you really look close, you're going to see it. Due to the high heat and humidity, and this fungus is here every year, floats in the air, but when conditions, environmental conditions are just right, it can take hold and grow. Now, there's a lot of ways that you can treat your plant. Some people like to use baking soda and water, hydrogen peroxide and water, and then there's a lot of fungicides out there, recommended mostly the copper fungicides that you can treat the plants with. Or when you see the fungus on a leaf, and this is recommended, that you pluck that leaf off so it really doesn't have a chance to spread. Because being a fungus, it'll eventually produce little spores that will pop out into the air, float around, and find another leaf surface to land on. And when conditions get just right, it'll start to grow. Now, they rarely kill a plant. It is unsightly, and you should try to keep it cleaned up. Don't let any leaves lay on the soil because that can help reproduce the fungus a little bit more. So no real big deal.
Okay.
It's nothing that you've done wrong. It isn't lack of fertilizer or overwater or any of that thing. It's just environmental, and we're just going through that spurt that's perfect for it. High heat and humidity.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
And thank you for calling 814-368-9372, 814-368-WESB if you have a question for Bob. And we were going to be talking about fungus and mold, so we might as well.
Yeah.
You ready to transition into that?
Sure.
That's a perfect lead-in.
Yep, you bet. So we're going to see a lot of that this year because of the environmental conditions, the high heat and humidity, seeing it everywhere, especially in the vegetable garden, you know, where we water quite often, so the humidity is high there. And most of our garden plants, you know, are producing and they're getting near the end of their life cycle. So it's really not a big concern. You know, you can, again, pluck off those leaves that have a lot of that fungus on them and get them out of the garden away. And but most of us are just going to ignore it because the plant has already done its job and we're getting ready to harvest. So the leaves aren't all that important anymore.
Now, the kind of fungi that we have around here, how long do the spores last when they go to spore? If, for example, we leave it on the plant because we know the plant's just about done for the season anyhow, what are the risks that the spores are going to still be around in the spring when the new plants come in?
Oh, very high. Very high.
So we should still pluck them off if we have a chance.
It's a good idea, to pluck them off. You know, again, it's the important part is it's environmental. Now, a lot of years, we don't get the heat and humidity for long periods of time. So the fungus, it's there all the time, every year. Has been for decades, for centuries. So a lot of years, we don't get it because the conditions are not right. And there's no way to eradicate it or get rid of it totally. There's just no way because even if your neighbor a quarter mile away has it, it'll go airborne and float to your yard. So there's no way to get rid of it totally. We just have to try to keep our gardens clean, water at the correct time, make sure our vegetable gardens are in as much sun as they possibly can so the leaves can dry out quickly so the fungus doesn't have a chance to start to grow there. Make sure there's good air circulation. Don't crowd your plants too much because that will cause that high humidity area that where the fungus can take hold. I can go on and on about it. You know, it's really not a big deal. If you've been gardening for any time at all, you've seen it. It's going to happen again sometime when the environmental conditions or weather conditions get just right for it.
And, of course, one of the perennial problems is mold.
Mold, yeah.
Specifically.
Yes. And that's happening a lot this year, too. And in the vegetable garden, no big deal because we're getting near the end where we're harvesting now or pretty close to harvesting. But in our perennial beds, it doesn't really happen a whole lot on shrubbery. But in our perennial beds, we may see some of the plants where all the leaves are turning brown and some little white powdery substance there. And if it gets real bad, we can cut back those bad parts, take them right out of the garden. Or if it's affecting the whole plant with perennials, we can cut back the whole perennial and get rid of those bad parts and try to clean up around the surface of the ground around that plant, any fallen leaves. And that perennial should be okay. You're cutting it back a little early, but it should regrow, maybe not this year, but definitely next year, if it was a good, healthy perennial to start with. So it's really, in my book, not a real big deal. It's a little unsightly, and a little discouraging, but not a big deal. It's not the end of the world.
But you're at least giving your plants every opportunity they have to
thrive. Yes. And again, you know, there are those treatments, the copper fungicide, you can use that. If you don't want to use a chemical, then go with the hydrogen peroxide and water, or
glug, glug, glug.
Yes. Or the baking soda and water. Give it a little test run first on a leaf or two to make sure it's not going to harm the plant. And then you can continue it. And that'll keep it in check. You can't stop it. Once the fungus has started, and it has started everywhere, you can't stop it. It's going to be here forever. It always has been here. But we can keep it in check so that it won't spread continuously. I shouldn't say kill, but, you know, make it look like it's killing the plant, even though most perennials, it hasn't killed them because it doesn't really affect the root system.
No, it doesn't want to kill it, because if it doesn't have a host, it has no way to
feed
itself.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's neat how nature works that way.
You're listening to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM and on Facebook Live at facebook.com/WESB1075. If you have a question for Master Gardener Bob Harris, our phone lines are open, 814-368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. You can comment on our Facebook live stream, or we also have our email box, which is good when we're not on the air as well, because you can leave a question there, maybe a photo if you've got a particular problem like that fungus and you want to discuss it. And I thought we had a question, but no, it was just spam about gardening gloves that popped into the email box. But that makes a good segue to the fact that you can get gardening gloves and lots of other stuff at our friends Worth W. Smith. So let's just step away and have a few moments with them.
Okay.
We'll be right back with The Gardening Show.
At Worth W. Smith Company, you'll find what you need when it comes to shovels, rakes, pruners, and all sorts of other gardening and landscaping tools. Why take the chance of getting splinters from old dried-up cracked handles, or the frustration of fighting with the rusty, chipped cutting edge on your loppers? Their staff is always eager to lend a helping hand with getting you what you need for the job ahead. Stop and see them today at any of their 6 locations in Bradford, Olean, Salamanca, Cuba, and Eldred. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company.
W298CM Bradford.
Here's the buzz in Bradford.
Computer doesn't like me today.
Oh.
You're listening to The Gardening Show with Master Gardener Bob Harris on B107.5 FM. 814-368-9372. 814-368-WESB if you have a question, or you can comment on Facebook or email us at garden@WESB.com. And those watching the live stream know that we have show and tell around this time, and we are talking shrubs, and we've got some big shrubs in the studio.
I'm going to move them where you can see it better, a little better. So earlier in the season, I talked about annuals, then I went into perennials, and now the logical step is our shrubs. But first, I just got to mention, you know, I want to say hi to my big sister,
okay,
Penny, out in Washington. Hi, Penny. You know, I'm glad to hear you listen to the show. So the first shrub I got, one of the more popular shrubs now, and it tickles me because way back 50 years ago, it used to be extremely popular. This is the hydrangea. And this one here, that shows up. It is a very interesting one to me because I took this as a cutting 3 years ago by one of the oldest hydrangeas in Bradford. Excuse me. And it's probably I'm not going to say where I took the cutting, and I don't recommend you just going around taking cuttings without permission. I did get permission. Oldest shrub in Bradford probably. They can grow 10, 15 foot tall, this particular one. It's called a hydrangea paniculata. It's the panicle type flower. You know, it's a cone shape. There are other hydrangeas that are in a round ball, the flower. And the flowers will last on the plant all through the winter. So a lot of people like to use them in decoration. Now, it won't remain white like that. It will fade to a silver and then eventually a brown. But they make a neat cut flower to bring in the house because they're extremely long-lasting as a cut flower. And the shrub is very forgiving. You're not going to harm the shrub by cutting off a few flowers here and there. It'll just continue to grow. But this one has always interested me because of the fact that it has that very old DNA in it, probably the oldest shrub in Bradford. Another one I'm going to bring forward. It's getting kind of big here.
We may have to move the smaller one out of the way.
I'll do that. But how's that looking there?
Yeah, there we go. Now we can see it.
There, I'll get it nice and close. I'm going to kind of hide behind it.
Wish I could.
This is a hydrangea. It's another hydrangea paniculata. And they developed a lot of different types lately because it's so popular. And this one's called Little Quickfire. As you can see, that it comes out in the panicle blossoms, and they eventually turn a pinkish. And as the season goes on, it'll get more and more pink. And then eventually, you know, come winter, it'll turn brown, and they'll remain on the plant for quite some time there.
It doesn't look that little to me, but I guess compared to the 8-foot hydrangea I've got in my front yard, It is little.
It is little, yeah.
It's only big here in the studio.
Yeah, especially up on the counter, it's pretty big. I didn't bring one of the round type of hydrangeas with me. I just couldn't bring all that in here and in my car. But those two there are what they call the panicle, and they're good to a zone 3. So that's a very, very hardy plant. Here in Bradford, we're a zone 5. So this will survive extremely easy. Like I said, from that first one, you know, that's probably going on 200 years old. So they last a great deal long time. Now, I'm going to take this down for a minute. So
I just see the transition between pink and white. Is it a transition or is it just a variation?
No, it's a transition. Yeah, okay. They'll start out white and then turn pink like that.
Nice.
And a lot of them will do that. There's a lot of different varieties that they're developing. Because it is such a popular plant anymore and so easy to grow anywhere in America, as a matter of fact. But for those that are worried about bees, I want to...
good pollinator plants?
No. Now, you can see there's a lot of flowers on each panicle. I should bend one down so you can see.
Carefully, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of flowers on each panicle. Most of the flowers are what we call sterile. They have no pollen, and they can't produce seed or fruit of any kind. There'll be a few in there that are a full flower that will produce, but most of them are sterile. And so the plant does not have a tendency to make a lot of seed and drop and grow up everywhere. Matter of fact, I've never seen one that can do that. So it doesn't attract a lot of bees. So it's safe to have there at the front door or up close.
For those who are allergic.
Yep, around the patios and so on, yes. The best way to develop more of them is by doing a cutting. And I hope to, in the future here, do a little show on how to do a cutting. It's very, very simple. So a safe one. Lots of color for an extremely long period of time. You can cut the flowers, bring them indoors. They look beautiful. Does not attract the bees. You may see one or two bees here and there. once in a while, but most of the time you just will not see any bees because the most of the flowers are sterile.
Yeah, bees. I had my first bee sting in 45 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Last week. Ah. And I'm like, I can't remember if I'm allergic or not.
Oh.
Back then, my grandmother used to keep Adolf's meat tenderizer around, not to tenderize the meat, but to get the venom and the stinger out.
Oh, no kidding.
I remember that to this day, even though I don't think they even sell Adolf's meat tenderizer anymore.
I don't think so either,
But I was like, we need the pollinators. Let's just let this go because we need the pollinators.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up. Because it is that time of year now that we're in August that the bees get extremely active. You know, they know what's coming weather-wise, so they can get a little protective also. Most of their colonies have grown, and so there's bigger numbers of them, and they're there to protect them and make sure they get a good food source. Now, if they're busy on a flower, they're not going to really harm you, as long as you don't bother them. But if you have that ground bee's nest or that wasp nest on the side of your house, which my sister's having that problem out there in Seattle right now, or in a tree anywhere, try to stay away from it because they do get a little defensive this time of year. Earlier, they weren't so defensive. They don't really care. As long as you don't bother the nest or bother them, they're not going to bother you. But they this time of year, they can get a little defensive. And so if you get too close, that can worry them to the point where they may attack. So just be aware of all that. You know, when you're working in your garden, I always like to double check. I'm laughing because I'm thinking of a story here. I always like to double check, you know, I'll look at the ground, make sure I don't see any bees going in and out of the ground, you know, because that's probably a ground bee's nest. Those can be very nasty. Or I'm just looking at all the plants to see how many bees are there and what are they doing. Are they just going to from flower to flower? Those guys are probably pretty safe. I don't have to worry about them, you know, and look for wasp also. The wasps are normally nasty all the time. They're defensive all the time. So just be aware of all those, you know, and if there's a lot of nasties in the area, then just go away for a while. Maybe that's an area you're going to have to work early in the morning or late in the evening when they all calm down.
And if you do have people who are allergic in your family and you need to get rid of a bee's nest, have it done professionally because not only is it safer, but there is a chance of saving the colony and just relocating that.
Yes, which is extremely important. Yes. Yes, indeed. I'm glad you brought that up. Just be aware. You know, it's that time of year where we're going to see a lot of those bees and wasps. Now, those real small ones that you may see on the flower, those ones that are only like a quarter inch long and maybe green instead of black and yellow, those are also bees, but they cannot sting you. They have stingers, but their stingers are so short and your skin is so thick that they cannot penetrate. So those are going to be safe, you know, for you.
But still don't agitate them.
Those we call a beneficial insect. They're pollinating our plants. And we can work with them. They're not going to harm us at all. But the bumblebees and the honeybees, just be careful of them, especially the ground bees. They're the real nasty ones. And the wasp.
We've got time for one more call. If anybody has a question for Bob, 814-368-9372, 814-368-WESB. Or if you want to save it for next week, we can answer it next week if you email us at garden@wesb.com. So what are we going to close out with on this big 30 weekend?
we're all
a little busy here with the big 30 coming up. So
just
mind's wandering a little.
A little bit more on the bees, you know, if you're really concerned, you know, and you're one of those people that's real quick to go get that bee spray, don't get it on your plants. Because it will harm the plants. It may not kill your plant, but it will harm the plant. So, again, just be cautious and leave them alone. Maybe that section of the garden. You don't need to water or weed today. So just let's let them do their job, because we need those pollinators bad. We really do. So that's enough about bees, isn't it, Andy?
Just remember, nature has its way. It knows what needs to happen. It has a balance to it.
You're right.
We just have to work along with it.
That's right. Exactly. Yep. It was their place before it was our place.
And will be long after we're gone, most likely.
Most likely.
So.
Oh, so the one last minute on the hydrangeas.
Oh, yes.
So I showed a couple of the what we call the panicle, the cone shaped flowers. There are the round flowers also. And one of my favorites is called the Annabelle hydrangea. Again, it's a very, very strong growing plant, round blossoms rather than panicle. And it's a very, very old one, and it's a native to America. Now, a lot of the hydrangeas have come from other parts of the world, but there are some that are native to America for those that are really concerned about planting just native plants. The Annabelle hydrangea, that's a very, very old one. It's a neat way how it got its name, too. You know, it was found by a little old lady in Annabelle, the town named Annabelle. And at that time, you know, it was very popular if you found a new plant to have it named after yourself. So your name would be out there forever. But this lady was not one of those type of people. And she says, no, it came from this town. So the name should be from this town, Annabelle hydrangea. She found it deep in the woods while she was hiking one day looking for birds.
That's not a bad decision, because unfortunately, with a lot of people who name things after themselves, the things they name themselves after tend to carry the name longer than they did. And people are like, well, who was this person?
Yeah.
So this way, honoring the town where it was first found is a very nice way of going about
it. It sure is. Yep. I really take my hat off to that lady. So there are the round type, and then there are those round, big leaf hydrangeas that a lot of people have purchased years ago that will turn blue or pink depending on the acidity or the availability of aluminum in the soil. Those are not very hardy. We like to call them florist hydrangeas. They're really pretty to look at. And if you can grow one in your yard and make it bloom every year, you're doing something that most of us can't do. Hydrangeas aren't picky. They just need sun and a moist soil, not a wet soil, but a moist soil, and they will grow easily. But the big leaf one that has the colored blossom is difficult to grow. It's a good-looking plant, whether it blooms or not. I have a couple in my yard, and I get a bloom out of it every 3 to 5 years, more than one bloom. And it's pretty, and it always turns out blue. So I must have that type of soil where there's plenty of available aluminum that makes it turn blue there.
I'm lucky I get the pink flowers, and my entire plant will blossom. It's beautiful. And then 3 days later, it's all gone.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah. That's about all the time we have for the gardening show today. If you've still got a question, you can email it to us, garden@wesb.com. And Bob will get to you first thing next week. And of course, you can also comment on our Facebook live stream. And feel free to share it with your friends, because it's going to be there, and we're going to have a recording of today's show, as we do every show, at WESB.com. Thank you to Worth W. Smith for making this whole thing possible. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Andy.
You all for listening. The ARG News Review with Drew Truman is coming up next here on WESB Bradford.